This podcast is an experiment. I'm going to share with you some pieces that I've written, which may or may not ever see the light of day outside this podcast. The pieces I'm going to share are, well, unpolished. They are fragments, and they're pretty much brand new. They're pieces that may or may not ever find their way into a final piece, and they may or may not ever be heard again. I'm Phil Rickaby, and this is my rough draft. I found an old notebook. It may have been 3 or 4 years old. And I opened it up, and it fell open to, a short story. And this very short piece was inspired by H.P. Lovecraft and the old gods, Cthulhu and the others. And I know that I'm mispronouncing a number of things, so Lovecraftian purists will probably be quite upset. But I found the piece interesting. I mean, in retrospect, it may be derivative, but I kind of like the mood that was set. So here is In His House at Relay. I cannot say precisely what it was that drew me home that weekend. I do not know why, but I felt an intense compulsion to return to my childhood home as quickly as possible. It was a distraction so powerful that until I actually packed my bag and left, I could concentrate on little else. I am certain that I alienated many around me, both co-workers and family, but I do not remember specifically how, as I was thinking of nothing more than the return home. The thought was all-consuming. I must go home. Home. It was a strange choice of word, for I had not thought of that town as home in many years, and the house that we had once lived in, the place I was now drawn to, I had not lived there more than 3 or 4 years when I was a boy. The place held no attachment for me, and yet, suddenly, here I was, with a powerful desire to go there and an equally powerful love of the place. It was very perplexing. Once I boarded the train home, my mind cleared and I was able to think rationally. It was then that I became aware of how ridiculous the whole thing was and how odd the feelings I had to the place were. But I knew there was no going back. I knew that as soon as I disembarked, the compulsion would return and I would find myself right back here before long. And so, despite my sudden awareness of the strangeness of the thing, I decided to see it through. I had not thought of that town in many years, and so I let my thoughts slide back to remember the place. Ipswich. The very name of the place was grey and dreary, and I remembered the people, their serious faces, their cold, stormy eyes, their drab, colourless clothing. I thought of the houses and their dull drabness rivaling the people's own. It was as if the buildings and the inhabitants were locked in a contest to see which would be the most lifeless. And much to the surprise of the buildings, the people were winning. This was the place I was being drawn to. How strange to feel such affection for it, to be drawn so powerfully to it. Ipswich is no destination town. No trains from major counties go directly there. There is no reason for anyone to go there. On the outskirts of town rests an ancient and little-used train station. Once a week, a train arrives, stops, and lets off precisely no passengers, and then departs. In order to get to Ipswich, one must transfer to different trains. I transferred 3 times until I finally sat on the train that would stop at Ipswich. Around me were men and women distracted. Not a soul sat with an open book or a piece of paper for writing. The train from York to Ipswich is not a long ride, perhaps an hour at most. And in that last half hour, I felt the need for the place rising again. Once more, the affection and the desire to be there returned. The train pulled into Ipswich Station, and a thing happened that had never happened before. A passenger disembarked. And not simply one, some 20 or 30 passengers now stood blinking on the platform, and before them the townsfolk stood waiting. Their clothes, their faces, as grey and drab as ever. I looked around at my fellow passengers, and I knew them. Classmates we'd been in that tiny schoolhouse on the hill. I wondered if they had all been drawn here as I was, and I realized that they had. No one would return to this joyless place willingly. The train departed, and townsfolk and travelers blinked uneasily at each other, and then, as one, the townsfolk all chanted, "In his house at Relay, dead Cthulhu lies dreaming." And then the grey, drab townsfolk turned and walked away. They walked through the town, to the ocean, and they kept walking. And that is when we knew. We knew why we had been drawn here. The old god. And we too began walking as if in a dream. We walked, unable to stop ourselves. We would walk, as the others did, into the ocean. I stopped myself and held off the compulsion as long as I could to stop in a house and write this down. I can resist no longer. I need to write this, though it will not matter, for all that we know shall end. I am the last of the generation born to wake and feed him. I shall follow the others, for I cannot resist the call. For in his house at Relay, dread Cthulhu is waking.